we're live.
Ooh, scary.
Yes. So welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this horrible experiment continues in all of its various forms. So this used to be an audio podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was a video podcast.
Yeah, thanks to you.
And now it is a live stream.
Wow, my thanks to you sound real accusatory, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't mean like, oh, we went to audio because of you.
But yeah, so we're going to give this a shot. And so anybody that's watching that wants to interact in the chat, I'm not set up yet to do that while we're live.
So don't?
Yeah, so after the stream. Yeah, I'll take a look at questions or anything in comments. So I'll jump on the chat after the stream and kind of follow up with everybody and just let me know if you have any thoughts or comments about what we discussed.
Multitasking is not one of my strengths.
And I need more wireless devices to connect to things across the room. So this week, I thought we would discuss GameFound launches with the Skyrim board game.
Okay.
And the Perfect RPG is canceled by Kickstarter. Yep. And a tiny epic mess.
Okay.
Yeah, this just happened Monday, so
The perfect thing or the tiny epic mess?
The tiny epic
mess. Oh, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, hey. All of them. Yeah, all of them happened this week. So let's just start with... there's a Skyrim board game that's launching on Kickstarter. Not on Kickstarter, a Kickstarter alternative. So GameFound has been used as kind of a pledge manager or how the fulfillment has been handled for a few different projects. And this was developed by Awaken Realms. So that's a studio that made Tainted Grail and probably most of the board games you see over there.
I have not heard of either of these, but okay.
And so they developed GameFound to do their fulfillment and everything, but now they're going to move it into a full-fledged crowdfunding platform.
Okay, so kind of from like the back end of sort of like a backer kit style thing to a Kickstarter kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. So now they're going to directly compete with Kickstarter, and the first project that's going to be there is the licensed IP Skyrim on a board game. So these guys do beautiful miniatures. It should be a pretty nice-looking game, but yeah, so we'll see. And we'll see what kind of competition this actually brings. And I'm curious. I'm curious what this is going to do, because people, as we'll get to in another story, people are a little bit unhappy with the kind of... censorship or kind of kind of heavy-handedness that sometimes Kickstarter uses. And so if you can choose a platform that matches, the companies you like to support, the designers you like to support, that may work well.
Yeah, the only other, I guess, alternatives to Kickstarter I know for, especially like TTRPGs and stuff like that, are possibly Indiegogo.
Right.
And that's about it. Like, I'm sure you could use other things, and I think like Itch has the ability to do like sales and stuff. And I know some people actually kind of like develop and kind of crowdfund on Itch a little bit. And Gumroad might have something similar, but it's either like Kickstarter's like, let's be honest, Kickstarter is the D&D of the crowdfunding world. Yeah. So yeah, I'll be curious to see whether this can compete. I'm getting choked up about how emotional I am. And like if you're going to start with something, start with something big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this will definitely bring some people in, because this is like the biggest fantasy single-player RPG for a while. It's been very popular. So we'll see. I don't know how it's going to translate into a board game, but it's it's probably a good starting place.
Well, like, sorry. Wow. Live. And it's not COVID, I swear. As I said before, not a video game person, with a few exceptions, but it's not the same company. Mm-hmm. But after playing that Fantasy Flight board game of StarCraft, I'm willing to at least give board game adaptations of video games a shot based on how much I enjoyed that essentially like translation, where I think the goal is to capture the feel.
Right.
Apparently, like, okay, wild tangent. Have you heard the theory of pollen, that's sort of the cup theory of pollen, where your body can absorb or deal with apparently so much pollen, and then after that, it's just like a cup overflowing.
Ah, yes.
And how people who moved to Japan with no allergies,
right.
after about like 5, 6, 7, however many years, just like, bam, full-fledged seasonal allergies. That might be what this is, because Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my throat right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, we've had it's a really bad pollen year, they've said. So on top of, you know, COVID,
everything
we have
else,
pollen.
Yeah. Plus, I have a walking Petri dish at home.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, my whole point is I probably...
So StarCraft is like pollen?
StarCraft is pollen. Yeah. Hey, well, there are those kind of like gas spore cloud thing overlords. Anyway, yeah. Well, I will not get this, and I'm not that interested in it. Mm-hmm. I'm not immediately going to write it off as some kind like all board game adaptations of video games are trash and shouldn't be looked at, because I've had a decent experience with one. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so we'll see. And they've done a decent job fulfilling all their previous projects. There hasn't been any major hiccups or disappointments. So,
that's good.
Yeah, so GameFound, you know, they've already kind of established themselves legitimately as a backer kit kind of fulfillment. So, we will see how they do as far as collecting pledges, because it's a kind of a different thing. It's more of a social platform, because there's so much interaction and comments, and you know, you need to be updating projects and what's going on, and the people react to what you're doing. Which brings us to our next story. Mm. So on Kickstarter, I guess this is part of the Zine Quest, right?
I believe this was the
end of Zine Quest.
I forget how long Zine Quest is going for. I think it was February?
Yeah, I think the month of February. But a Kickstarter executive has canceled the Perfect RPG campaign. Mm-hmm. And so this is based on the backlash of the Dungeon World co-creator's involvement, Adam Coble, in his contribution to the Perfect RPG. So his name was, there was a list of contributors, and his was at the bottom, and someone saw that, got upset, and that was the end of that project.
Yeah, this has been all kind of the indie, not even necessarily indie, but all kind of like the people in my TTRPG sphere on Twitter were talking about for a while.
Right.
First, I knew of the Perfect RPG was this kind of backlash, and someone pointed out... Mm-hmm. Listing contributors' names in reverse alphabetical order by first name is kind of an odd thing to do. Right. And I think it ended up being, not ended up, but even if you're on the outside, and because like I kind of knew what happened to Adam Coble as like a fan of Dungeon World. Mm-hmm. Never really interacted with him or followed the... I sound like I'm distancing myself. That's not the case. Like, all I'm trying to say is I didn't really keep tabs on any of his APs or live streams, but I did know what happened. But kind of like the lack of consent and sort of lack of safety tools. And anyway, so I knew what happened. Listing contributors that way, then kind of finding out that... While yes, contributors kind of do have a responsibility to ask who else is working on the project, that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. And then finding out that a bunch of other contributors weren't made aware that Adam Coble was going to be included on this thing, then kind of couple that with the fact of I've never kickstarted anything. Apparently, it can be really difficult to get that top pick or projects we love badge. And one of the people who can heavily influence that is Luke Crane, who put this together.
Yes.
And so getting that is maybe not suspicious, but you look at like all three of these things kind of together, and they can't all be coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, it may have been an effort to kind of, but I'm still, so did you watch the actual video of the live stream of the incident?
I did not.
Okay. So I've watched this and I don't want to overextend myself. Yep. I'm not a fan. I'm not, you know, not a particularly huge fan of Adam Coble, but the punishment does not fit the crime.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Meaning that's a single incident in an AP live stream is grounds for deleting someone's career.
Ooh, we're getting into cancel culture. Okay. And okay. I've not watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say whether I agree with you or not. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't want to sound like I don't care about the person this happened to.
Right.
But possibly more than the incident itself was the addition of, I think what a lot of people felt was a non-apology from Coble. I believe he said something along the lines of having to like take a step back and think about what he did.
Mm-hmm.
then I don't have the specifics. I could go pick them up, I guess. Then there was also kind of bad feeling by, I believe he used like the either Black Lives Matter or some other kind of social justice hashtag to kind of what felt like put the spotlight back on himself kind of another, you know, I've done some thinking and blah, 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 which again ended up being sort of like pretty much a non-apology and a kind of look at me. So I don't want to say it was only that thing,
right.
But it's kind of like,
yeah,
you need to do better than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think it was that one thing that canceled him.
Right. Yeah, it was just an odd misunderstanding, and it wasn't even, like, it was robots, and it was software, and there was nothing sexual about it.
Okay.
It was just the description of, and your character feels the, you know, strongest orgasm they ever had. It's like, and then everyone was like, whoa, okay, wait, what's going on now? Now this is suddenly sexual. You know, the thing that happens to this robot feels like this incredible orgasm. And then, yeah, the things just broke down from there. And so I can understand, you know, things, him not handling things well, and especially the kind of the whole culture that particular AP was involved in. And it's fine. I mean, I didn't watch it. I'm not going to miss it. But I'm really like, how much do people want these kinds of things trained on them? Because, you know, if you aren't vital to a company, and if you're an independent, you know, game developer working in as an independent contractor, any of the stuff on social media points at you, you're erased. You know, that, and do we really want that, you know, existing? And do we really want to, you know, the people that will be protected are the people that are suckling at the corporate, you know, teeth.
But I don't,
you know, those people would be protected. Those people won't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Jobs. I'm not going to argue there about those type of people probably would be protected because they would have, I guess, the clout of a company be behind them. I mean, if you talk about things like Mike Merles, I mean, Mike Merles is still around probably because he has WotC and Hasbro behind him to kind of quietly.
And lawyers to hand them, like, this is what you should say, this is what you should
post. Yeah. I mean, not even talking about like necessarily shielding, just kind of like, anyway, kind of slightly getting off topic, but I don't necessarily think this is people taking aim, and I don't necessarily think this is like cancel culture run amok, honestly, the people who deserve to be canceled can't, right? You know, if you're up on some big platform going, I was canceled, it's like, well, no, the fuck you weren't, right? So, yeah. I take your point where, on the one hand, it is or can be a little bit scary to think about something like this happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, let me bring it back to Japan. How many times have I said something like, shame culture, especially in Japan, only works when people are made to feel ashamed?
Right.
And I kind of see this as the same thing. Like, yes, it would suck to have this happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, use these as examples and don't put yourself in a situation where things like this could be misconstrued, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you talk a decent game about safety tools and stuff at the table.
Oh, yeah.
Like, regardless of what happened on the AP, like, as soon as that happened and as soon as the player was uncomfortable enough to kind of drop from the AP or whatever, don't make it about you then, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
no, that's very
give true. Give yeah, a yeah. decent apology, mm-hmm. find out what happened, and then make efforts to actually do better rather than talking a decent game and not really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, sorry, go ahead.
No, and this may just be like the kind of tipping point or the incident that they're going to just use. Okay, this is enough. We've had, you know, there may have been several, you know,
possibly
that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Several situations. But I can't help feeling a little bit of, you know, having run live stream APs, a little bit of sympathy with, you know, you're going to make weird mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to say weird things. Strange stuff is going to happen. And you're live streaming just like we're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, so we can say things. Oh, well, actually, I didn't quite, you know, that you might misunderstand what I just said, and I just put that out there unedited. Right. So that's a little bit difficult. So of course, like, after that happened, then so Far Verona was canceled there shortly after, and interestingly then Modiphius dropped him from developing safety tools for Dune.
Well, see, there I mean, I think you're right. Like, thinking about that years ago, that Monster Hearts campaign where really taught me, like, great, safety tools would have been great because I was not able to anticipate the reaction I had. The person running the game did not say anything weird, right? And the player involved, like, also didn't know what was up. So I'm absolutely sympathetic to stuff during an AP is not going to get weird, but it's going to be unpredictable. And you're not going to be able to, there's a lot of moving parts and you can't predict them, which is why safety tools are there. But then like after the game, I actually talked to the people involved and said, sorry, this is what happened. This is what's up. This is how I would feel safe proceeding in the game to the end. Like nothing really, I want to say nothing bad came out of it, but like it taught me a lot. And I don't know what happened behind the scenes for that Fair Verona thing.
Right.
Based on what the outcome, it obviously didn't get resolved.
Yeah.
There obviously had been other things in the past to make the player feel unsafe enough to go, I'm completely done with this.
Yes. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, again, I don't want to say what happened, but looking at the result.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And if he didn't follow up with the players and if there wasn't actually some personal contact, be like, okay, let's, you know, I at least want to, you know, to know what you were feeling and kind of smooth things out, even if that doesn't fix his work situation, even if the AP still falls apart. Yeah, just on an interpersonal level to try to deal with that. But yeah, so I think that, yeah, that's a good point. But it is so funny, like holding yourself up as, yeah, I'm going to make safety tools.
Well, that's the thing. Like I knew he was involved in Dune, didn't know he was involved in safety tools. Right. And I think maybe what you said about this being the tipping point, I think maybe the sense is, getting back to like the perfect RPG Kickstarter, again, like coincidences, like I've seen people bring up and I kind of agree. Okay, why did the initial kind of teaser not include Koble's name? Why did the mock-up of the cover, mock-up, okay, whatever, maybe it was just later, whatever, why did that not include Koble's name? Why did the other contributors not know Koble was going to, especially like co-creative Dungeon World?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That like, and to have people then say, you know what? We're going to have to, we don't like this, we're pulling our thing. And then for Luke Crane to go, just kind of say, people are dropping out. And I've also, again, didn't follow up, I've seen people claiming that the creator Crane said people were dropping out like due to harassment and stuff, which a couple designers spoke up and said, we've not been harassed, right? Like we chose to withdraw our content after knowing who was involved.
Oh, interesting.
So it kind of seems like another instance of a friend trying to, on the sly, rehabilitate a friend's image, which I think that's, in addition to all the other stuff, that's maybe the big thing that people were reacting to, where it's like, we've had enough of this sort of thing happening. And you're an executive of Kickstarter. Actually, I don't know if that's the case.
Right.
You know, you have a fairly high level position in Kickstarter, can affect or influence all these other things that a lot of people, you know, like that game we love, that game we love badge gets a lot of eyes on projects. And as someone who's never Kickstarted stuff, right? Probably won't, only because I don't want to have to deal with all that management stuff.
Right.
That can like make or break a project, and there's never really been a clear indication of how that gets picked.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether or not that's the case, like you look at all these things together and you're kind of like, this is a bit suspicious. So I, bringing it back, because I've rambled enough, absolutely understand why people are looking for Kickstarter alternatives.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. And also the because the headlines for this, when I was first looking at this story, were just saying things like I read, you know, Kickstarter exec cancels project. And that makes it sound like, you know, Kickstarter is exercising censorship and deciding what is going to win or lose, not based on how it's going to be supported, but their morals or their choices or they're the final decision maker. And it doesn't seem to be that doesn't seem to be the case. But I think that is still that possibility of that happening does kind of make, there is a need for alternative platforms. So GameFound, maybe one of those.
Yeah, hey, maybe.
We'll see. Yeah.
Tell some other GameFound executive who gets accused of nepotism and stuff. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, I think they're based in Eastern Europe. So yeah, that could be.
Honestly, it's kind of, I see how easy it is to slip into nepotism because I guess like tangent, I'm probably going to close submissions, but I said, I want to hire someone to write an adventure for the little Brighthammer game idea.
Ah, yeah.
Right? 15 cents a word, 500, 700 words. got way more applications than I anticipated. So now I'm going to have to become like a project organizer, which I just said I'd never wanted to be. So kind of big mistake there.
Right.
But like just the other day, I was thinking like, hey, Alan, John, Jeremy, I wonder if they would want to write something or draw something. And I went, like, took a beat and went, that's giving something to my friends after I've put out an all call.
Right.
That
right.
would look incredibly bad. Mm. And even though it came from a place of like friendship and wanting to say, hey, I enjoy this thing too. Maybe my friends would. Mm-hmm. I went, oh, that would look real shit.
Right.
So
right.
let me not do that. So I don't know. Sometimes you just kind of have to like step back and think about the optics of something. Mm-hmm. And oh, even yeah. if it came from a good place, go, not the time.
Right, right. I don't appreciate you making your daughter vice president of development.
So which is why he's Crayola crayon.
Right. Well, so another little outrage related, it's, and this is on Kickstarter as well, was Tiny Epic Dungeons.
I haven't heard about this. Okay. I mean, okay. I've heard of Tiny Epic Dungeons, mm-hmm. which is put out by what, like Gallant Knight Games?
Game Line Games?
Oh no, maybe this is something different then.
Yeah, so not the RPG. There is an RPG, and this is using a similar. So that is a little brand confusion. Okay. Yeah, I think because Tiny Dungeons, is like a little D6.
Which is a little bit too crunchy for me, and I'm looking to dump the book only because.
Oh. It's not tiny enough.
No, actually, funny enough, it is not. Yeah.
So this is a board game. This is a fantasy board game done by Game Line Games, Gameling, yes. And after coming under scrutiny for their depiction of the female characters on the cover of the box, they made changes.
Okay.
And so, okay, yeah. So some people that were going to support this project said, I don't want to support this because of how you're showing the female characters. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, this is the other going to go one of two ways. It's going to be Mad Game Bros for covering up female characters or Mad Everybody for undressing the dudes.
Oh, yes, there are very nude dwarves. No, it has to do with who made this accusation, who kind of started this ball rolling. Okay. So the change was made very quickly. They didn't release any official statement. All of a sudden, just alternative art appeared. Okay. And supporters were like, whoa, what? Okay, so we were fine with it. The kind of controversy started when Elizabeth Hargrave, the designer of Wingspan, started posting in... Board Game Geek, and I think probably on Twitter or social media, and made this observation. But she is in the same industry in a competing company. Like, you know, this is kind of jockeying for advantage. She made a game about bird watching, which is kind of bulletproof, and unless you know, there's nothing you're really
going to... Can I introduce you to the furry fandom?
But, it's like, okay, the subject of that game is, you know, no one is going to find anything with that. And
Don Bluth and like 80s cartoons would disagree. Sorry.
But as soon as, so there's been pushback then.
Okay.
So people supporting it. So, you know, I can understand, I'm much more sympathetic to somebody that wanted to support this, but, you know, they've got daughters and it's like, I wanted to play this with my kids and I don't like how this is depicted. Or, you know, religious, you know, they're more, it's something based on something else that they're coming at it from, you know, as a, like a third party in
I would argue just standards of decency.
Yeah. Yeah. But for this to come from somebody in the industry and to basically be, you know, hurting the competition by making them have to recommission art or have to edit their art, it's a little...
Don't know the parties involved. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen this game. I'll go look at it and see what I can dig up after recording this. Mm-hmm. I think, tying it back to what I just said, possibly this is... Whether or not, like, the accusations are true or grounded or whatever, this has bad optics.
Oh, yeah,
unfortunately, it has bad optics where like, okay, in potential industry rival kind of pointing this out and causing trouble, whether true or not, it does kind of look bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It just, I think that's right. It just doesn't, I mean, why do this? I mean, specifically like why would that come to your attention? Especially if you're doing such harmless, you know, just like it's all mechanics and just a little coat of some kind of setting over it kind of games, and then be attacking other people's like choices to do fantasy characters portrayed how, you know, how what would get attention, what would get pleasure.
I have an image in my head of what the cover of this box looked like.
Oh, it's not anywhere near
what I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not, because the amount of anime crap that from being in Japan ends up on my feed.
Right.
I have a pretty decent and exaggerated image of what this must look like, which it probably does not.
Yeah. But it was really minor, and it was like literally like, you know, maybe millimeters of clothing that fixed the problem. You know, like, yeah, it was very minor. So it was an odd thing to go after. It's just a particular illustrator, like, to make a character look feminine, they pose them a certain way. To make them look male, they pose them a certain way. And that's basically where this criticism came from, and cleavage, you know? So it's like,
I can kind of see the point, because, I mean, again, talking about Twitter, like, I'm not going to get it just because I can't get video games, but Monster Hunter Rise is coming out. And as like a fan of the Monster Hunter franchise, there were official posts of like an armor set. And of course, the male armor set, the figure they chose, is in a very active, dynamic, aggressive pose. And the official like Capcom image for the female armor set is the cute little knock-kneed weapon over the shoulder, kind of not really doing anything pose. And I kind of put that, I'm just like, why? Like, haven't we moved past that? So I'm kind of sympathetic to the dudes are posed one way, chicks are posed another way kind of thing, and we don't necessarily need to do that. And I'm sure there's any number of companies out there doing a much better job. So, like, I do want to go look at this. I doubt that I could probably give it a fair assessment since we've had this discussion,
right? Yeah, it was a pretty minor change that they actually had to make. So you kind of wonder why this was a problem. And if you're going to, you know, start this ball rolling, well, then we're all going to be playing birdwatching games, basically, because, you know, you're not going to be able to depict any gendered anything.
It's funny to say that. I'll disagree. I make this podcast about, it's not even a podcast anymore, it's a vlog. I make this about myself. My thing is, like, someone who makes sexy time games, right? There's like a place for that, right? Like, if your game is about, I don't know, kind of like, tongue-in-cheek, being kind of like erotic or sexual, whatever, that's fine. That's what the game's about. So then make everybody like that. Right? And I guess I keep making tangents, but think about like Netrunner, which I do want to check out that Project Nisei box that's coming out. Think about like the Adonis and Eve cards, right? Like, here you have two bioroids designed like for companionship purposes. Right. Adonis came first. It was like a dude with no shirt, intentionally looking sexy. And the same thing with like the picture on the Eve bioroid model. Like, you might as well be the same thing,
right.
male and female versions. And they didn't, I'm really glad they didn't go with like a just like sultry looking dude with like an open shirt, barely open shirt, and like the bikini wearing thing. So I guess that's an example of what I would expect, where everyone's kind of treated fairly. Whereas if you're going to just do like, all right, it's a dungeon crawling romp. Well, then you don't need chainmail bikini and full armor. And that's an exaggeration. Like I said, I've not seen the box,
right.
But just kind of like, why?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can see if this was like specifically for, you know, 12 and under game, then okay, maybe you could scrutinize that a little bit, but I don't believe that's the case. I mean, I think it's just for fantasy board game playing audiences. Yeah, so it's just that criticism coming from within the industry is like, oh, interesting, we're going to play this game, huh? If you're going to stick to, you know, managing highways and, you know, watching birds, then I guess, you know, we're going to be the ones that are going to have to redo our art periodically.
Somebody needs to do a bird watching game that's just like Don Bluth style character art, right? We're like, anyway, I'm only bringing that up because I saw something recently about it. So,
yeah. So we'll see. So it continues.
I guess
just endless. And it's all, you know, that's the thing that I'm most unhappy with, how things kind of get jostled around. It's happening in a lot of different, you know, lower level entertainments, and don't mean to insult tabletop by calling it lower, you know, comic books, tabletop, you know, even like animation and things. It's like, you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to put in the hours. You don't have to be established to suddenly be a superstar in some of these industries. And so that makes you very vulnerable to these kinds of attacks, because you haven't proven yourself. You don't have any sort of track record. You don't have anything.
What do you mean?
I mean, a lot of people are like, you know, they're based on, oh, the you know, co-creator of Dungeon World. Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, what else have you done? Like, what's the, give me 20 years of a career, and, right, then, okay, and then we're going to consider, you know, then we can make better judgments about your, you know, your character, because we can see what you, how you've acted in the industry, okay, what you've okay done, and how important you are to the, you know, development of whatever, you know, industry you're working in. So I just feel like there's a lot of, you know, people that they're pretty fragile, and the criticism is based on, hey, if I hit hard enough, I can probably get that guy's job.
Not saying that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are some people like that. But if there isn't, I guess my position would be, kind of like we discussed earlier,
mm-hmm,
unless there is a history of that sort of behavior,
mm-hmm,
I don't think the accusations would stick,
mm,
for people with no career,
right?
Kind of like, what have you done? Oh, I've made this one game or whatever, mm-hmm, right? And if there's no other kind of like history,
mm-hmm,
then people might just go, eh?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But if, I'm trying to think of a good way to phrase, there has to be something there for the accusations to stick.
Mm.
And I can't think of a better one than that.
Yeah,
right? But if you kind of look back and you're like, well, there's nothing there, so this person just talking out of their ass.
Right.
But if you then kind of start doing digging and you're kind of like, oh, looking at this stuff in a new light, there's this or this or this person's not coming forward or that or whatever.
Right.
And it does have the potential for people to just be dogpiling on the indie darling Twilight Imperium 3 style. Take that, board game nerds, right? But like in that case, I feel that there's something there,
mm-hmm,
to be commented on, which sounds really weak, but kind of basically drug into the light and examined, rather than there wasn't anything here.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm suspicious of a lot of how this is working. And also people that, because there's a little bit of a, you know, any of these industries have a bit of a gateway. Like it's, you know, to get into it, it takes a little bit. And if you fail to do that, and if you're not making any sort of inroads, and this is kind of your dream career, well, I'm failed, so I'm just going to take shots at people in this industry. Yeah, out of frustration.
I don't doubt that some people do that. It's a pretty toxic thing to do. Just the alternative is to, I mean, I've done a few freelance jobs, right? And just people were asking me a while back, like, how I got those. I'm just like, I just made shit, right? Like, I just made stuff for games I liked and put it out there and talked to the people briefly, kind of who made it. And just through that, built up a small network of people.
Right.
So you don't got to be all, I understand it could be frustrating to want to do a job and to, here we get into like entitlement stuff, because I was about to say, to feel you're kind of like deserve a shot at that job. Maybe you don't.
right?
Sorry, that's the fact. Maybe you think you deserve a shot and you actually don't.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, and I think that's hard for some people to accept. So it just turns into some pretty bitter stuff. But on that happy note. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's HiveMind, HYVEMYND. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, and I have been doing a weekly live stream of my single panel gag cartoon.
Which
so
is going quite well, I hear.
Yeah, it's going well, and we just started doing a movie club.
Ooh.
Weekly. It just started as one of the people in comments said, "Have you ever seen this movie?" I said, "No, I will never watch that movie."
Oh, I'm afraid to ask now. What movie is this?
It was Knives Out.
Oh, okay.
The Rian Johnson
I've not
movie.
Seen that either.
Yeah, and so I watched it. And then we discussed it. No, it was actually because it won best screenplay that year. It was well done. Okay. I mean, it was really well done. There's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of his politics in it. Mm. But I mean, you know, the whodunit is not a sophisticated genre, and it was very fun and playful. And he did his usual subversion where he kind of moved the, you know, you saw what happened right away, in the first 20 minutes, you're like, that's how they died. And but it was handled really well, and the cast was amazing. I mean, they got really good actors to play really eccentric, and that's how those work. Those ensemble casts with whodunits, everybody has to be a colorful, weird character, and they have to, you know, be
except
pointing
for the
fingers.
Person who did it,
right? And pointing fingers at each other and stuff. So yeah, so we discussed Knives Out last week, or this next week will be Mandy, the Nicolas Cage movie. So if you haven't seen that, you definitely should. I'll lend you the
The only thing I have time to watch now is kids media.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Not really.
So if you have seen Mandy, or you will see Mandy before next, what would that be, Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please join in. Join in the discussion. And yeah, we're just going to try to watch things people haven't seen or people really love and just kind of discuss that.
I'm laughing at that dichotomy. We're either going to watch things people haven't seen or they really love. I'm like, that is
yeah.
like
could get some passion. Yeah, yeah. Get some passion in there. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of gone back and forth. And it's nice to like recommend stuff. And this is a good opportunity to see stuff I've always wanted to watch and just like, yeah, just never taken the time.
Right.
So Mandy is next week on Abuse Cartoons live stream. So on Twitch and YouTube, you can follow that. And then also the Enmity stories are mm-hmm. still going. So NMITY stories, corp.com is the website. And then stories.enmitycorp.com is where you can find the podcast. Then there's a YouTube channel as well. And I think I named that actually Enmity Corporation. So it's very...
Branding
it's
hard.
It's much harder to follow. Yeah, I was going with the whole... everything was going to be represented as a corporate website.
Right.
And then, yeah, a lot of these platforms don't make that possible. You know, it's supposed to be an individual
right,
creator.
Right.
So yeah. it's a mix. So the, yeah, Enmity story. So now I've got 2 hours
ooh, wow.
audio. Yeah, so the eighth story went up. So they're about 15 minutes each. So
cool.
2 hours of speculative fiction read by robots.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'll say it right now. Mm-hmm. If you make robots that start making art and linking it to crypto art, I'm done.
Yes, that's going to be the...
Or you've hit the next big thing.
Right, right.
Crypto pods, right?
Well, they have to make and then buy the art as well.
Yeah.
Have to,
yeah. Don't get it. Don't want to get it. Just, no.
That's yeah. the next big thing. It's going to revolutionize... yeah.
Yeah.
Hiding your money in.
It's going to revolutionize terraforming the wrong way. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So that's it for this week. So I hope that this technically worked out, that we have video and audio and everything is close to what it was.
We weren't watching the chat, so we'll never know until afterwards. Hey.
Right. So, yeah. So we'll try to resurrect whatever we have of this video for the archive. And we'll be back again next week doing the same thing.
Yeah. Later, mortals.
Bye.